when even a Christian can become buried in the cares of this temporal world. And so I want to ask us all this morning, ask you, are you really living today? Are you really living? Or is your outward life covering up a sad reality of fears, or maybe doubts, or maybe defeats? Here in Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through 21, we're going to find out what real life really is and answer the question, I hope, for you this morning, are you really living today? Because real life is absolutely amazing. The real deal that Jesus describes and that Jesus provides is so amazing, and you must experience it for yourself in your life if you've not yet. Jesus said in verse 15 here of our text, Luke chapter 12, verse 15, he said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." There Jesus begins to tell us what real life is not. He begins to tell us that life does not consist in having all these things, does not consist in the abundance of the things which you possess. Real life is not about what you can possess in this world. And so, what is real life? Let's begin reading in verses 16 through 20. The Bible says there, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." We read through this parable here that Jesus was teaching to his disciples. And what were parables? It was a tool that God would use, that Jesus would use while he was on this earth, to give a hypothetical story to teach a spiritual truth. And that's exactly what is happening here. He's talking about there being a rich man. And this rich man looked around and he saw his crops, he saw his barns, he saw all his possessions and said, "Wow, I'm doing pretty well. Look at this good harvest that's coming. I better prepare for it." And he was thinking how to do that. And he thought, "Well, I better build some bigger barns. I better get prepared in this way." And that was not a bad thought. We need to look at life circumstances and think ahead and prepare. But he went further in his thinking and he said, "I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to prepare for all this harvest and then I'll be able to just go on retirement. I'll be able to just take it easy from there on and I'll be set." And then God has an answer for that. And God said, "You're a fool to think that way. Because there's something you don't know, rich man. This night, thy soul will be required. You don't have all the ease, and you don't have all the comfort, and you don't have everything set like you think you do." And Jesus used that parable to teach what real living really is. And I want to ask, are you really living today? So real life is not about what you can possess in this world. It's something else Jesus was trying to teach them and trying to teach us today. Before we find out what real life is, I would like us to spend some time thinking about the appearance of real life. Often we look at different circumstances, and no doubt people would have looked at this rich man here, and we look at other people and say, wow, they've really got that together. Wow, they seem to be really living. They seem to really have it going for them. But I want you to understand, the appearance of real life is so much different than the real deal. The appearance is something that is very deceitful. And Jesus here was warning his disciples about the sins of covetousness, wanting more and more for yourself. He was warning about complacency. Here you see the rich man became very complacent, very, very self-confident and comfortable with himself and his situation. Very complacent and self-dependent. These are all wicked before a holy God that teaches that we ought to be much different than that. He was teaching them through this parable about this rich man and these things to avoid. This man looked like he was really living, but that's what he looked like, friends. And I want to warn us against falling into that same trap of going for the appearance of real life and missing real life. Are you really living today? Let's dig down here a little bit into the appearance and notice some things about what this rich man had going for him, or rather not going for him. Number one, notice with me, the rich man had many possessions. That's pretty simple. You see that there in verse 16, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. This was the guy who had a lot of good crop coming in. This was the individual where others would look at him and say, wow, that's some nice land he has, and it's doing very well this year. It brought forth plentifully, the Bible says. So much so that in verse 18, Jesus said this guy would have to tear down the barns that he had to store all the possessions that he was gathering. I mean, this guy had the crops coming in, he had the buildings to go with it, and the nicest John Deere tractor in the county. This guy was all set. It looked really good. There was a very good appearance about his life. Many, many possessions. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 19, verse 24, Jesus said there, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's quite a thought. You have a needle, and you have a big camel. It's easier to get that camel to go through that tiny eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why would Jesus use such a strong analogy like that, such a strong illustration? Because there is a powerful truth there to understand about possessions, materialism, and getting all you can about this temporal life. There's a powerful lesson there to understand about the appearance of it being so good, but the end is it's not. It's temporal. Mark chapter 10, verses 23 through 24, Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? You see, again, Jesus in that other passage was saying, this is a hard thing for a person who is so focused on temporal, so focused on what they can get in this life, so focused on possessions, having this, having that, being the latest that. It's so hard for that person to see the spiritual truths that they need for their soul. This rich man had many possessions. And folks, I'll tell you this morning, we have many possessions too. Maybe not as much as that guy would have had, but oh, we're so blessed in this country. It's so much so that we don't understand much about the rest of the world when it comes to possessions. We are very blessed, and it's very easy for us to have many possessions like this rich man did, which means there's a stern warning for us. It's very easy for us to think we have it all together, but we are missing important spiritual truths that our souls need. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 31 is an interesting passage in regards to this. You don't have to turn there this morning, but God is speaking to his prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a preacher many, many years ago, and he was preaching during the captivity of God's people in the land of Babylon. And God's people were not following God. That's why they were under that punishment and bondage. But God was using Ezekiel in that time, and he was preaching powerful messages. And God was speaking to Ezekiel there in chapter 33, and he said that they come unto thee, those God's people, come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. God said, for with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. I believe in American churches especially, there's a lot of people who attend and look really good. They have the appearance of real life going on, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. They speak with their mouth much love, but they are so distracted with this temporal life and the material possessions that are around all the time. First Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, it says this, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You see, there were some that got distracted. There were some that began chasing after and investing themselves all into the temporal life, chasing after the possessions that they could have. And what they did was they erred from the truth, from the faith, and they destroyed themselves as a result. They pierced themselves through with many sorrows because the love of money. Now, you may be here today and say, well, Pastor Dan, that's good. I'm not very rich. I don't have a whole lot, and I don't know that that part is for me. Okay, well, I understand, but is it true that it is so easy for us to become focused on the temporal when the Bible puts the emphasis on the eternal? I know it's true in my life. The Lord gives us what we need, and we do all right with all our possessions, but it is so easy for us to go throughout our weeks and so much of our effort is into temporal things. But the Bible puts the emphasis on the eternal. So we put a lot of effort into something that appears to be real life. But the real life is not able to be seen with our physical eyes. What really is going on is something much, much different and much more important than the temporal. And so the appearance of real life, we see here that this rich man had many possessions, and that can be a very easy distraction for us that we have to be careful about. Jesus said, beware of covetousness, For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. But notice the second thing, another way that this rich man appeared to have it all together. Another way that this man appeared to have real life, but the reality was he didn't. It is that this rich man had many plans. He had many possessions, but he also had many plans. He was putting together, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to handle this. And I'm going to retire, and I'm going to have ease, and I'm going to do all these different things. He had many plans that he began to set himself toward. Now, he was certainly a motivated individual with big plans. And that can be a good thing, for sure. But you notice here, that was not good enough for God. It's not good enough just to be a motivated person. You may say, you know, I get a lot of fulfillment out of this life by having some goals, having some plans. And those are good things, but that is not what it's all about. It's not all about your plans. It's not all about being motivated. It's not all about getting something done, because that can become just the appearance of really living. It's amazing to me, and fascinating to me actually, to hear the stories of entrepreneurs. Small business owners, medium business owners. I like to meet business owners, the rare times I get to, and hear some of the things they learned along the way. And no doubt they have to be motivated people. They have to have some plans and some goals. And that's a good thing. And sometimes you look at someone like that and you think, wow, they really have gone somewhere. They really have been successful. They really seem to have some things together. But be careful, just because you have good plans, just because you are motivated to go somewhere like this rich man was, be careful. It may not be really living. It could just be an appearance. So what is real life? There must be something more. It's not possessions. It's not having many plans. Do you understand that your plans better be God's plans? You better make sure that your plans line up with his plans, or your plans are destined to fail. This rich man had plans. What are your plans in life? What are some of your goals? In James chapter 4, verses 13 and 15, it says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and buy and sell, continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." James is talking about how, people make plans. I'm going to go here. I'm going to do that. But then he instructed there in verse 15, "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." If the Lord would allow me, if it's God's plan for me to do such and such, if it's God's plan for me to go to that city to buy and sell and get gain, then that's what I'll do. But if it's not God's will, then I'm not going to do that. You see, that's much different than the way a lot of people think in our world, isn't it? They make their plans. They say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But they never turn toward God and say, what would you have me do? Many people in the world don't even know God. They don't know to turn to God. But the Bible gives us that perspective that we need to have. James says, ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Are you taking your plans, friends, to God? Are you running them through his filter? Are you allowing him to have the final say? You know, that's what Jesus did. The Bible teaches us how Jesus said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You see, that is for someone who claims to follow Jesus Christ. That for the Christian here today, that is the heart that we should have. Lord, whatever your plans are, that's what I'm going to do. My plans are subject to your plans. Are yours this morning? So this rich man had many possessions. This rich man had many plans. But this rich man had no policy. You say, what are you saying, Pastor Dan? Well, I kind of think about it like this. This rich man had no life insurance policy that could cover him the night his soul was required. You see, God said to him in verse 20, "Thou fool." This man did not have something prepared for that night. He had plans for how to take this barn down and put that barn up. He had plans on how to get the harvest in. He had plans on what he was going to do after that harvest was in. But he had no policy for the night his soul would be required. Now, friend, this does not have to be the story of your life. You don't have to go the same way as this rich man hypothetically did. The Bible reveals to us that God's life insurance policy is completely free. His life insurance policy is available to everyone. And it guarantees full coverage. It couldn't be anything better than it. God has a policy that is available to every one of us, and you can have it today. But this man did not. And what did God say about him? Thou fool. You have all these possessions. You have all these plans. You look like you have life altogether and like you're really living. But you're a fool because you are not really living. You are not prepared for that day when your soul is required. So number one, we see the appearance of real life. But what is real life? And are you really living today? Number two, the possession of real life. What does it mean to possess real life? What does it look like to be really living? Well, I want you to see what Jesus was focusing on here. Look at verse 15 again. He said toward the end that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And so Jesus was teaching, it's not about how much you can get. It's not about gathering all these things and putting all your investment into this temporal life and seeing how much you can accumulate. It's the opposite. So what's the opposite of getting? Giving. What's the opposite of hoarding everything to yourself? It's being generous. And so what does real life look like? Well, in part, it looks generous. Real life is generous. Are you a generous person? Are you focused on others? Your bucket list should be secondary to God's bucket list, friend. When you put yourself first, you are investing in the temporal life, and it only has an appearance of the real thing to you. Don't be deceived by that. We are not here to serve ourselves. We are not here to live for ourselves. There is a much higher calling than that. Be a generous person. It may be your neighbor. You notice they need something. It could be a physical thing they need. It could be a spiritual thing they need. But you notice a need. Would you take the time for your neighbor across your street? It may be someone here at church, a fellow believer, and you notice a need. Would you be the generous person that the Bible instructs us to be? The Bible talks about it in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 27. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, it says, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. Do you ever hide your eyes from a need? I don't know if I would exactly call this, because you got to be careful with some of these cardboard sign holders that say Vietnam vet and all that. By the way, I got to talk to a Vietnam vet on Friday and share the Lord with him, and it was really, really a neat experience. Thank him for his service. But, you've seen those cardboard signs before, and those guys standing there, and you don't know the story behind each sign, And so you kind of got to be careful. But have you ever noticed yourself, because you want to be careful, you want to be cautious, as you're driving by or whatever, you hide your eyes? I've done that before. We need to have our eyes open. Now, I'm not saying you need to give the guy $20. Well, again, you need to be careful. But I'm talking for needs that are all around us, not just the sign holder. There are needs all around us all the time in other people, physical, spiritual, you name it. Are you a generous person? It says, "He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse." 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, it says, "Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." There's something about giving. There's something about being generous that is real life. That's far better than taking it all for yourself, than gathering it all in. Be a giver. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 14, David was speaking there, "But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." So they were gathering for the construction of the temple, and David was recognizing everything we have is from God. And that's true for us as well. It's not ours. It's the Lord's. He gave it to us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Those are powerful words. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 through 10, it says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." You see, this rich man, whose barns were about to be filled with plenty, would very soon lose it. And Jesus' answer to him, or God's answer to him there was, "And whose shall those things be after you're gone?" But the promise here is, you honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase, then God will give you those full barns. God will bless you for that. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, it says, "Freely ye have received, freely give." Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it says, I think I got the other reference wrong. Malachi 3, verse 10, it says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in thine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." You see, there is something about being a generous person that is really living. Now, if I were to say this morning that life is not about all you can get, but about what you can give, that would make for some good preaching, but that would not be all the truth. Generosity is only part of real life. It's only part of it. You're getting closer, but it's only part of it. Friend, there is more to really living. And in fact, if all you have is generosity, you're not really living yet. Notice how there are many, many large companies around the world that are they're very giving, okay? You can correct me on that later. Philanthropic, there you go. They're very giving people. They have a lot of money to give. They in fact use it as a marketing scheme. Okay? So we gave such and such $1 million to this nonprofit organization this year, and they put that up on their billboards and hope you buy their products, okay? And so there has been a shift to where large corporations do a lot of, I'm not going to try the word again, work, okay? They do a lot of that. And sadly, it's shifted away from churches to corporations. It should shift back to where the churches are doing all of that work and being the most giving people. But anyway, it's interesting that they do that and they tout it and they say, look at how well we've done. And people could look at that corporation and say, wow, they are really something. $35 million. Think of how many children that fed. Wow, they are so generous. And look at how large their corporation has grown. What a powerhouse for feeding an entire continent. And people look at that and say, that's really living. They've really got it going for them. But the truth is, generosity is only part of real life. So what are we missing? Real living is generosity. Real life is generosity. But friends, you can't have real life unless you also include real life is eternal. It's not this temporal life. There is an eternal aspect to what real life really is. Look at verse 20 again here. God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Jesus was emphasizing that for this rich man, his life was going to end far sooner than he had thought it would. That very night, his soul would be required before a holy God, the judge of the universe. And he did not possess what I would call, what the Bible calls, eternal life. He had the temporal life. It had the appearance of real life, but it missed the eternal ingredient. Now, we need to understand that many people are gambling on the longevity of the temporal life, and they are not realizing that they live on the brink of eternity, like this rich man here. Is that you here today, friend? Are you gambling with how long your life will last, expecting tomorrow to be there? But the fact of the matter is, you are on the brink of eternity. The Bible teaches us that eternity is real, that heaven and hell are real. The Bible teaches us that when an eternal soul is created, which we all have, that soul will live on forever in one of two places, either heaven or hell. So in a sense, all of us have eternality, okay? The Bible makes that clear. But that does not mean all of us have eternal life. Real life is eternal. And you will go and exist in either heaven or hell, and that is based on what you do with Jesus. We'll get to that in a little bit. But real life has an eternal aspect to it, and many people in the world are gambling with how long theirs in this life will last. The Bible said to that man, or God said to that man, thou fool, this night your soul is required. And the Bible says in Psalm 39, verses 44 through 6, excuse me, the psalmist said there, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. Lord, help me to see how short my life is, in other words. What it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth. Just a short distance. And mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely, every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Some good thoughts for us to have in our lives as well. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 6 through 7, it says, because to every purpose there is a time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him, for he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be? You don't know when it's your time to stand before God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. You see, it only lasts so long in this temporal life. Proverbs 27, verse 1, it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. It says in James chapter 4, verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It is very, very short, this time we have on this earth. And Job understood that when he said, oh, remember that my life is as wind. And it's gone. It's that short. And you don't know when it will stop. Psalm 102, verse 3, it says, for my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as in hearth. Psalm 144, verse 4, man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Isaiah 55, verse 6, it says, friend, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And I want to make something clear to you. If you don't know the Lord, if you've never called upon God, if you've never found this real life that we're talking about, then you need to do that today. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And this morning, he is able to be found by you. You're here in church. You're listening to what God's Spirit would say to you through his word. He is able to be found by you today. Would you seek him? Would you come to him? Would you call upon him this morning while he is near? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And so you see, real life possesses an eternal element to it. It's not just being generous. There is this thing called eternal life, that if you don't have it, you're not really living. How can you have a generous life? How can you have eternal life today? Well, I want to tell you this. It is all summed up in one person, Jesus. Real life, thirdly, is Jesus. It certainly has an aspect of being generous. It certainly has an aspect of eternality. And how do you bring all those things together into one package? It was one person, Jesus, the most generous person that ever lived, the most eternal. Oh, you can't say that. You can only be eternal. He is eternal because he's God himself. And he can offer it, eternality, to you and me. And so understand that real life, what it really is Jesus this morning. And if you don't have Jesus, friend, then you don't have real life. You're not really living today. You are, as this rich man in the Bible, going through a life that is that may look good, but at a point your soul will be required, and you're not ready with the right policy. Real life is Jesus. Now, this is something for the believer today. This is something for the person that has never come and found Jesus himself. Living in total faith and dependence upon Jesus is the answer, friend, to real life. You may be a believer here today and you say, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I know I had the eternal aspect. I had that gift of eternal life and God has forgiven me of my sins. But I still struggle at times with really living. I feel like I'm dead half the time. Well, the answer for you, friend, is dependence upon the Lord. It's faith in Jesus, just like you got saved. That's how you're supposed to live in victory. You understand that Jesus, friend, wants to guide you through life to an eternal home. He wants you to turn to Him for all your needs, and certainly He can fulfill. John chapter 12, verse 25, it says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, but he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." You see, that is finding real life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The context is all those possessions, all the material things of this world, all the things that you need in this temporal life, God will take care of them if you will seek first the kingdom of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." Jesus said, "Come unto me, and if you're heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, that sounds like to me really living. So I want to ask you, Christian, are you really living today? Are you walking by faith, in dependence upon the Lord, that He would supply, that He will provide? What about you, friend, who maybe came in today and you don't know for sure that you have eternal life? Are you really living today, or does it just look like it? The Bible says in John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." You can truly live. You can be really living today. Have that generous aspect. Have that eternal aspect. Have Jesus as your own. You can have that if you believe in him, it says. "Though he were dead, yet shall he live." John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The life. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so the way to really live in this temporal life is through Jesus. John 3, verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now that's a familiar verse, but there's a lot in there that you need to understand if you're here and you don't have real life. You need to understand that God loved you so much that he sent Jesus, his only begotten Son, to this world for a purpose. Jesus came to this earth. He, through his great love, took your place. Now what does that mean? It says there that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus came and died in your place. You see, because the Bible teaches that the wages of sin is death. We're all sinners. It says that about us. We've all sinned. We've all broken God's law. We all will have our souls required someday, and we have to stand before God. And the Bible teaches us that God must judge sin. And so, if we are standing before God and we do not have our sins forgiven, then we will have to spend an eternity separated from a holy God. The Bible teaches how that's a place called hell. That's eternal death. But it doesn't have to be that way, friend, because you can be really living today. You can have Jesus today. It says, "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, it's simply believing in him. What does that mean? You recognize today that I cannot earn God's forgiveness by being good. I cannot get heaven for myself. It's impossible. I would be rejected of God because I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. I've broken God's law. You recognize that you're a sinner today. You recognize that Jesus paid for your sins already. He died in your place on the cross. And so you recognize you're a sinner. Jesus took your place. You can't do anything of your own. He did it all. And you trust in him. God, I can't save myself. God, I can't get myself to heaven. You did it all. And so I'm going to depend upon what you did, not what I could try to do. You see, that's believing in him. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, the Bible says. Acts chapter 16, verse 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, the story that the Bible gives us that happened many years ago is Jesus came to this world because he loved you so much. He died in the place of all the sinners in the world, all that ever were and ever would be. He took their punishment upon himself. But because he was God, he had the power to come back to life. He paid for the sins. He died and the work was finished. He had the power to come back to life. He did, and he has the power to give you and I that real life as well. Do you have it? Are you really living? Dear Christian, are you really living? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I ask that you would just take this message and your spirit would use it in whatever way is needed in each soul here today. And I pray that if there's someone here who just has the appearance of real life, Lord, would you please convict them today and help them to see what really living really is. Help them to come back to Jesus, to find Jesus, whatever the need is. Help them do that today. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.